Okay, I guess we are back. Something happened in the studio. Usually I get some bumper music, but something happened there. And anyway, we're back on the Investigative Journal for the second hour. And this is the last hour this week. I'll take off tomorrow and Friday for Thanksgiving. I'll be back Monday live. And then Tuesday we'll have Kay Griggs on. And Kay's a woman that was married to a Lieutenant Colonel Raymond Griggs. And she tells the story of how she learned her husband was a Marine hitman, and talks about a number of the people, along with the people he used to work with, the Bush crowd, Paul Wolfowitz, the rest of these people. And it's an incredible story about how this woman was then persecuted by these same people for coming out and telling this story. And she'll be on Tuesday again, Kate Griggs. Okay, back to Pastor Alamo. So, what do we do, Tony, with Hollywood? Let's say we wanted to make a movie about the real story of the Jesuits. How would that go over?
What I would do is, it would be boycotted immediately, and what I would do is just tell it like I did the 20 original hits. I'd tell them, here's the truth about, blah, 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 so on and so forth, and I would they're not available in stores. You can only get it to a particular number. Now, everybody's copying my method of selling records because they always thought that the only way you could sell records is through distributors.
And, right.
Yeah, and so this is the way I would probably do that, from the cradle to the grave.
Exactly. And, one story I always wanted to tell was the real truth about what happened to Abraham Lincoln, which would really shake up people. And about the Jesuit hit team and how they were sent to Rome and hidden in Rome.
Yeah.
And then how the trials were fixed. And then basically Lincoln's words about the Vatican and the Jesuits, which has all been kept from people. And what I'm getting at is this. These stories need to be heard just as much as the other stories that they tell. But if they have the control, you can see that it's very difficult to get, one, any message across through Hollywood, two, to the judiciary in our country. If we wanted to ever get to the truth and to prosecute the real criminals, it would be next to impossible. Don't you agree?
Well, it would be impossible because they don't allow these presidents that are Jesuits appoint judges that are Jesuits also. So if you're going to appeal to the court system, you're just as like you're reporting Satan to Satan. In the Bible, Jesus said that Satan, if he divided his kingdom, well, then it would not last. He said so. He says they were saying that he was casting out devils by the power of Satan. Well, he said, if I were Satan, I wouldn't be casting out my own people. And then at that time he stated that there's one unforgivable sin. You're calling the Holy Spirit Satan. He said that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so, but my instruction on that from the Lord is just to trust him, because when people read the Bible from the book of Genesis clear on through Revelation, you see that when people pray, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. We have to expose the Vatican to show how who our enemy is. And then the psalmist David says, save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Arise, O Lord, in the anger, in thine anger, lift up myself. And lift thyself up because of the rage of my enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. God, when you pray, and you see that every time people do pray, that he destroys the enemies. I'm praying and instructing everybody to pray that God will destroy the Vatican and all the agencies of the Vatican, because they're not getting better, they're getting worse. I say, Lord, if any of them are capable of being saved, Lord, save them. But the ones that will not be saved, take them away from the earth. And I can see a lot of them that have been causing us trouble. We see them dropping like flies. The Lord shall judge the people. judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. If we're keeping the commandments of the Lord, we don't have a thing to worry about except contacting the Lord and staying there right with him, because we're actually, for sure, in the last days. And I believe that most of the people, you know, because of the way that we've exposed them, the Vatican newspaper stated that I would be the greatest apostle if I would just become Catholic, because they say that I cut the Catholic Church in half. They said we used to have 1 billion people, but now we only have 500,000. This, they said, around 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And according to my integrity, you know, if I'm doing what you say, Lord, that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, in other words, the people that are really going to heaven. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. So my defense is of God, because that's why I haven't been killed yet for 43 years, because people say, don't you know they're going to kill you? Don't you know they're going to... I said, well, if they did, I'm going to be in heaven right away. Now, I saw the Lord Jesus Christ appear right in front of me. And so the entertainment industry is garbage to me, especially with the trash that they're putting out nowadays. I wouldn't want to, even as a sinner, I wouldn't want to do any promotion in that. I don't like rap music. I don't like the filth that they're putting out. I just don't like it. And I now I hate it, because I knew that if it got a hold on to me, well, then I would be a castaway, just like the rest of these poor wretches in this world. I'm praying that they'll be saved. I'm preaching that they'll be saved. I'm telling them the Word of God, and I'm telling them how that they can not have to worry about their career. You know, I didn't own a piece of property before I was saved. After I got saved, I had over $100 million worth of property, but we built stuff out of scrap lumber. We went around and got donations of it and everything and built homes for hundreds of people. And, you know, it's like right now we have over a billion, you know, like we've got water, $1 billion worth of water that's right there in the Los Angeles area that we are able to... have on our financial statement. It's and also over 200 acres there in Los Angeles, which amounts to about $1 million an acre. So that's like $1.2 billion in Los Angeles alone. We've got property all over Oklahoma, Arkansas, and other states. We've got property in New Jersey, and we have a church in New York. And so there was nothing to the entertainment. Even though I was on top, you just don't make that much money. Some of these people say that they're making that much, but because of the fact that they're Vaticanites, they don't have to pay taxes, a lot of them. And, you know, the Vatican, different organizations pay their taxes for them, because they'll do these filthy films and anti-Christian films and pro-Catholic films. There's all kinds of profits that they make from this, and I'm not trying to encourage people to do it, because if you do, you're going to hell and the lake of fire. Because God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked, these wicked people every day, the Bible says. And he,
right.
I see him.
And, you know, I wanted to mention this regarding your ministry and... looking at what's happened in America, and I try to talk to people about this because I find it very interesting when you research the subject. When you look at the Protestant Reformation and exactly what they were teaching, they made one of the main elements was to preach from the Bible regarding the Antichrist. Okay, and what they said, Luther, Calvin, and others, was that the papacy... basically was the system of the Antichrist. And they would show in the Bible these passages. And that was one of the cornerstones of the Protestant Reformation. Well, the Jesuits, when they were formed in the Council of Trent in the 1500s, had to put a stop to that. So they came out with other ideas about the Antichrist to counter this and to fictionalize the Bible in a sense. And what's happened is, on the in the religious side, in ministries today, I look at this subject, and then I look at pastors out there who will be preaching, and I've gone to different churches, talked to different people in the small town I live with and near Boulder, Colorado, and none of them seem to get to these three, the one point. They don't touch on this subject. They don't criticize the Vatican anymore, and they use Jesuit theology. Then, when it comes to the war, you will talk to these pastors in these in churches that are independent, Calvary, Bible-believing churches, and they support the war.
Yeah.
And then three, they're not doing anything in the community. I can't find one soup kitchen in this town or nearby that'll help anybody around here. And there's a big, huge Catholic church right below me where I live, and I see it filled up every Sunday. And then you see the Protestant church. But nobody wants to meet these standards of a ministry, which I think is a protest of the Vatican, and I think you do.
Right.
Because in all these areas, you serve, one, you preach the truth about the Antichrist from the Bible, two, you are against the war, and you expose the Vatican, and three, you do good things for people. I mean,
right, even our church alone, we serve three meals a day, but we have served meals after each service, and we have eight services a week, one every day at 8 o'clock in the evening, and twice on Sundays, 3 and 8 o'clock, and like people in prison write us, I let everybody know that if you have people, if you're in prison, and whether you're there for whatever you did, no matter, we're not looking at that, I don't care whether you're a Catholic, a Protestant, or what. If your loved ones, your wife and children need something and you can't do anything about it because you're there, we'll box up some toys for them and clothing. Just send us the sizes and we'll ship it to them. And we ship boxes like that all over the world. We don't persecute Catholics. What I do is preach the gospel to them in hopes that they, and also treat them the way that the Lord says to treat everybody. You're supposed to treat everybody nice. But then they say, well, why are you praying against them? Because I'm praying against the ones that have chosen to be members of Satan's army, whose bosom is filled with an army of lust. They can't stop from lusting about all the different things that are in the world. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that message, but it's so easy to do once you have the Spirit of the Lord in you. But we do help people. It doesn't make any difference. If you need help or anybody needs help, we're there. If we can, we do the best we can. And we don't get any government aid. And there's not a lot of people that tie to us. We work. The people in the church have businesses that a lot of them were former hippies, and we won them to the Lord back around 37 to 40 years ago. And they've been with the church ever since. And so they work and do all kinds of things and tithe the money in. We build homes for them. And if people want to move into the church and they keep the rules, of course every place has rules, and they serve the Lord, we give them a house or we let them live in a house and we pay all their expenses. They don't even have to worry about anything. And people are coming from far and wide to join up. And of course, if they don't serve the Lord, well, then we don't keep them. But and if they don't keep the rules, and it's a sort of a Spartan lifestyle for the first year or two, because we want to know who we've got in the church. We want to find out if they really are sincere. We don't want to spend money on Satan. If they're satanic, we put them out. If they still want to be on drugs, or if they're homosexuals, we put them out. And so they said, well, if you do, the Vatican government says, if you put a homosexual out, well, then we'll take your tax-exempt status away. Well, one of the churches I have has no tax-exempt status, and so I don't care what they do to me. I'm not going to support homosexuality. I'm not going to support the war. I know how to war according to the scriptures. It says, pray to God, and he will destroy the enemies. And he does. I mean, it's just that way. President Bush asked me, sent 17 emails to me saying, you know, what can we do for peace in the Middle East? And he was going to bomb Iraq, and I told him, don't do anything until you hear from me. I'm going to write a piece of literature to tell you. So he backed off. He didn't even say that he was going to do it for many days. Then I sent them the White House, from the Bible, what it was that they must do, and then immediately he bombed them. So he didn't listen to any of my advice whatsoever. They keep checking me to see if I've snapped or if I have gone astray from the Lord, but then they find out and it just infuriates them.
Yeah, because you know they you have a story that you've talked about before, but when you were at odds with Clinton, when he wanted you on his side, and that led to a lot of problems for you in Arkansas, and that's according to a FBI agent we've had on the show, John Peeler, who was assigned to basically kill you, and he couldn't because he couldn't find anything. He said you were crystal clean, and so he ended up leaving the FBI, and he told me you were his last case. And it's an amazing story what he says, but I know that you have been at odds with Clinton, and he's no better than Bush or the rest of these guys working for the Vatican undercover, so to speak. And it's just amazing how they're coming forward now so openly. Tony Blair recently becomes a Catholic. There are now many stories about all the nobility that was kicked out of countries because of their allegiance with Hitler are coming back to places like Italy and France. It's amazing. And then the Pope coming here, and you can see this whole worldwide connection of the papacy, and people are remaining ignorant of this fact, that they have no business in our foreign or domestic policy, and that's my biggest gripe. But you can see how they use people like Clinton and Bush. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, for sure. Now, President Clinton is the one that instructed John Peeler to assassinate me. At first, I'm written up in President Clinton's book, 2 pages he gives me in his book. And he tells me that he was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and he came down and found out that Dolly Parton was singing at my restaurant because she wanted me to do a lot of clothes for the family band. She sang there free of charge for 2 days, 2 shows tonight. And so the place was so crowded that we had to turn away thousands of cars, thousands of people, because we just didn't have the accommodations for all of them. And he came in and wanted to meet me, and so I sat down and had some pie and coffee with him, and he says, hey, could you introduce me to Dolly Parton? And I told him, yeah, if she wants me to. He was governor then. And so I went back and asked Dolly. I says, you know, the governor is out there, he wants to meet you. And this was before I knew what kind of a reprobate he was. I didn't want to, it makes me sick that she didn't have anything to do with him, though. But so I took him back, and he wrote up in his book. Well, because of that, I guess, he knew that there were a lot of people that believed in our ministry, and so he wanted to know if there was anything I could do to help him. So the mayor of Dyer, Arkansas, asked me to write a letter to him and ask him if he would give us a fire truck and a new fire station. And they were advertised. They were saying on the news that they had no money whatsoever. People should not ask for money. The day after he got the letter, he said, "Yeah, you got your fire truck, Tony. You got your fire station." And then I was going to put up some kind of a tourist attraction on the side of Georgia Ridge there. And he gave me 4 freeway off ramps and all sorts of things like this. And then there was a woman, Mrs. Rappaport, that was trying to get me to get a license for a daycare center, but we didn't have a daycare center. All the women in the church took care of their own children, and the husbands and the wives took care of them. So all of a sudden, I was coming from Florida in a vehicle, and I got a call from Bobby C. Taylor, who is the real estate man here, who knows Governor Clinton very well. And he says, Tony, I said, yeah, Bobby. He says, your friend in Little Rock wants to know if you'd like him to get rid of Mrs. Rappaport for you. And I said, no, no, don't do that. I said, the Lord will take care of her. The next day she was fired and had been banned from any government job. This is the power of these governments and these judges. And he's a Catholic from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's more Catholic than Patty's pig. And so, you know, if you're on their side, why, there isn't anything. All things are possible. They try to make themselves look like God. All things are possible. Only believe in the Antichrist. Only believe in Satan. And just like Satan offered Jesus to be the first pope, you know, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything in the world, anything you want.
Right.
Well, the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you worship. So they'll offer you anything if you'll just sell your soul like Esau did for a bowl of beans. You know?
Yeah. And it's, you know, what's so interesting, though, is when you look at, for example, the country supposedly based on freedom of religion.
That's a lot.
Go ahead. Yeah. Now, there's a huge story behind the Jesuit infiltration through the state of Maryland, and people should ask why it was named Maryland.
Mary. They worship Mary. That's why.
Exactly. And there was a boy. His name escapes me right now, but. What I wanted to get at, one of the major players in this, it was John Carroll, back in the beginning of our country, when our country was formed. And John Carroll was basically trained by the Jesuits. He was born here, I believe, and then sent back to England and trained by the Jesuits, and came back here as an infiltrator to basically, at that time, the Jesuits were disbanded in England, because they were getting involved in the government, surprising. Yeah, right. Well, anyway, Carroll comes here, and then we see now 28 Jesuit universities, unbelievable land holdings. The power is amazing. In fact, the Jesuit general actually tells the Pope what to do, and he's at Borgo Santo Spirito Cinque in Rome. But what I want to get at was John Carroll was very, very important in the subversion of freedom of religion in this country. And guess what? When Bush went to visit the Pope, guess what the Pope's gift to him was? The autobiography of John Carroll. And people, you know, people need to start questioning these things. And what really is interesting, though, when they infiltrate all of our religions, and then they say basically this, we want to unify with your Protestant church to fight the real Antichrist, when they are in fact the Antichrist, and then they use old Jesuit theology to get people to think of futurism and the Antichrist coming in the form of something that's not involved with the papacy. What they're basically doing is trying to destroy you from within. And that's why these Protestant churches, to me, have become nothing more than subservient to the papal throne. And what do you look for when you start looking at these evangelicals who may be working slyly, saying they believe in, you know, Jesus, when they're actually working for the Antichrist, the papacy? What do you look for, Tony?
Right. Well, these Lutherans and all these other religions have joined with the Vatican. That's why they call it the it's a connected church. The word is that they have become United Baptist, United Methodist. Methodist Church now, and the Lutheran Church now, and all these major churches are united with the United Council of Churches, which is also the Vatican. And I don't see them as anything other than Catholic Benny, and he's an out-and-out Catholic, and this Jack Van MP, he doesn't hide it at all. He says he's a Catholic. They do that so that it can avoid persecution. And they think that they're being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Well, the Bible says to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but they have become so wise that they've become the serpent. They are part of the Vatican. They're part of the United Council of Churches. They're part of the United Antichrist movement in the world today. And the only one that's going to be for us is God and the people that are like-minded as you and I. There's nothing that anyone can do, and it's a great thing to do is to pray to God and keep the commandments. And God is angry with the wicked every day. And they are wicked because they're phonies. You know, you can ask any of them, do you hate the cult of Roman Catholicism? Do you hate their doctrine? And see how many of them will say, yes, I do. They mm-hmm. will not say that. This, Jan and Paul Crouch are staunch Catholics. And that's why they're able to open so many television stations. That's how they're able to get into some foreign lands without any problems whatsoever, because the Vatican tells them, open up the doors for these people. People wonder, why is the doors always closed for me? And why do some people make it? Well, you don't want to make it the way they did, because if you do, there is a day of judgment, and this life goes by very quickly. There isn't any one of us that's going to get out of this world alive. We're going to stand judgment. Whether people believe it or not, they will believe it, and they're going to be sorry for what they're doing on this side of eternity. So,
yeah, and what appears to be happening is that, you know, you'll hear a lot of people now criticize our government and things like that, but what they never do is they never look at the hierarchy of the religion they so-call. The religion there, for example, if you're born Catholic like me, I felt a responsibility to understand what the Vatican was really all about. And when I found out, I was really hurt because I could see how they basically manipulated me my whole life when I was a kid. And I believe that everybody has that responsibility if they're involved in an organization, whether it be the Catholic Church, whether it be the Lutheran Church, whether it be you working for the government, whether it be you're you're American citizen, or whether you're a member of the Knights of Malta, one of the Catholic organizations, the Rotary Club, the Knights of Columbus, you have an obligation to check out what the hierarchy and what this organization's all about. And if everybody did that, boy, I'll tell you what, the Vatican would be running for the hills, because they'd know that the only way they can survive is through deception and deceit. You know, and that's really important to me, that people question not only their authority in government, but question who the authority in. You know, everybody's saying, "Well, we got to figure out what life is all about." Well, figure out first, you know, what religion you were born to. Figure that out, and figure out what the hierarchies are doing all over the world. And I think people then will start waking up, because in no country right now in the world are they aiming their target. They're aiming their bullets at us, because they're using this freedom to hide basically fascism, and they're using freedom of religion to hide the real Antichrist here. And what's your thoughts in the last seconds here before our break?
There's no doubt of what you're saying. It's true. There's the Jesuits everywhere. You don't know. They said that so many Jesuits infiltrate into our church, and then they go away and say things about us that are not true. And, you know,
So they've actually tried to infiltrate your church, huh?
Oh, yeah. We're full of them all the time. We have to weed them out constantly, because they'll put dirt in your gas tanks. They'll put rocks in there, and sabotage every possible way they can. And Alberto Rivera told me, watch out for that kind of stuff, and so I received a lot of those type of instructions from him to watch out for it. People think you're paranoid, but no, we're just careful, that's all. You know.
Right. Right, and, you know, Alberto Rivera is an interesting story. He's a former Jesuit priest who was actually assigned to infiltrate churches, turned on the Jesuits, found Christ, and started telling the truth, and he was poisoned to death by them. I've had his wife on, his Nuri Rivera, and she's quite a feisty woman who's trying to spread the truth in Florida right now.
Yeah, I know. I am. Alberto Jr. has been over here several times to visit with us, and he's living with his mother there now.
Right. And I don't think we're going to take a break right now, Pastor, so we get a couple extra bonus minutes here. I guess they're having a computer problem in the studio. But so we'll go right on to the end here, another 25 minutes. One thing, this whole idea of the end times. What's your take on that? How, and the Bible's take, from your perspective, are we near that right now?
Oh, we're into the very last minutes of time. That's why you see Jews preaching the gospel to Gentiles. That's why you see all these plagues hitting the earth now. And this is just the beginning of sorrows, the Bible says. And
mm-hmm.
So we're definitely well into the tribulation, so there's all kinds of these phonies that are preaching that we're not going to, we're going to be raptured out of the tribulation, and that's false. Absolutely false. So,
okay.
I believe we're in the last minutes of time, and I know it very well, more than probably anybody, because we're being hit every moment of every day. There's always something new, like, I could just give you a for instance in Los Angeles right now. The building commissioner has and the people that be there in Los Angeles stated that they changed our zoning and saying that we have to get a zoning permit. But we've been zoned that way for 40 years now, and now they're changing the zoning law on us. And they jimmied the papers there, but we have the original papers, and so I had to hire a battery of attorneys to go in and show that what they're doing is all contrived, and they're just doing it because they've been told to do it. These
mm-hmm.
people that work in these government offices are not that bright. They're taking orders from on high. That's the way it is. And I found that, you know, I'm not really a stupid person. After 43 years of finishing school, I think I know, and I'm quite sure I know of what they're doing. And so, therefore, I'm an expert on the subject. And I can tell that you are as well, because you've lived there in Rome, and you're an attorney. And you're a bright boy yourself. You know what I'm saying?
But I'll tell you, when I first learned about what they were doing, I was so shocked. I mean, I learned about it in the strangest of ways. I happened to be there during the Vatican Bank scandal, catching a lot of the aftermath of the Pope, Pope John Paul I being killed. Although they said it was was natural causes, which was a complete lie. And then, just through circumstance, I learned all these things, and it just began one thing after another. I started to see the light there, and I was young then, and I kind of naive, and I said, well, this could never happen in America, because I saw what they did and how they were operating terrorism in Italy and the Vatican's connections to the mob and all that. And I said, well, this has to be just something that goes... America still has people in charge that are strong and free. And you know what? And you probably at this time had already understood much more than I did. I was so wrong. But putting everything together, all I can remember is that there's a street right next to the Vatican, and what it, the street during right before the war and right after the war used to, it's called the Strada di Butani, which is the Street of the Whores, and that's the nickname it has. It's right parallel to the Vatican, and I used to sit there and have a glass of wine and have cheese and talk to everybody. So I asked them, I said, well, what did they used to do here? Why did they call it that? Because they sell religious artifacts here. Now, most every shop, they say, oh, this used to be where all the whores were to service the Vatican. And just amazing to me, all the little stories I used to hear from the Italian people who quite well understood the truth about these people. But anyway, I always wonder why I ended up there, because it sure has paid a lot of dividends now in getting at the truth for me, anyway.
Yeah. Butana is definitely the word for prostitute or a homosexual, too. Butana,
Yes, Strada di Butani.
Yeah.
Street of the Whores, right next to the Vatican.
I lived in a hotel about one quarter of a block from the Vatican. I could walk out on the balcony and look to my right, and there it was. You could see the walls and everything right there. And those Catholic bells, when they'd start ringing, they'd wake me right up.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know,
the Lutanas, that's what they are. Almost
so still to this day, you're seeing a lot of, you know, I know they must be concerned about your ministry, because you've affected millions of people. You started passing out brochures 30, 40 years ago, telling the truth about the Vatican. And what about this? How have you seen a change in the last 30 or 40 years? Are more people catching on to this, or are you still getting called a Catholic basher?
Yeah. Well, they call me a Catholic basher, Pope basher. And they gave me one of these $1,000 helmets. Someone bought one from Neiman Marcus, needless markup, we thought. They put on their Pope basher off the top of it. And, well, you know, the basher is the Pope. He's bashing anyone that is for the Lord. They hate God. The reason they hate God is because it tells in the Bible that homosexuals are going to hell. It tells that extortioners are going to hell. It tells that the Vatican is the seat, Satan's seat. It's in the city of the seven mountains or the seven hills. Back in the time of the writing of the Bible, it was called mountains and hills. They used both vernaculars back then. And so the Bible also tells, you know, that we have to win everybody's soul, that we have to be idolaters. We can't have statues. If you go into a real Orthodox Jew's home, you don't see any pictures on their wall. You don't see any statues of Mary or Christ. It's just amazing. There's only one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And they use Mary. Praying to Mary or any dead any saint is not going to get you anywhere. That's really one of the first sins. The Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before you, shall have no images or likeness of anything in heaven or on earth, any statues or anything. And they just don't care. They just figure that people are like cattle. They're stupid. They know that they've got them bamboozled. They know they've got them deceived. So, you know, they don't really care what as anybody thinks. They run the government now, and so Satan is satisfied. He's sitting back sumptuously enjoying the last few minutes of his time, because he knows he's very angry. He's full of wrath. He's bombing people. He's destroying people's lives, because he knows that his time of being sent to hell and the lake of fire is very near. And that's the nearer we get, you're going to see more wrath of God hitting this earth, and you're going to see more persecution from Satan and his cult in Rome. Remember, a cult is a person who's the head of the cult is says they're God. And there's only one like that and that I know of, except this guy in Mexico thinks he's God.
What about this guy? I don't know. I've heard about that story. Have you been? up on it, or?
I laugh at it. The Lord tells you about these kind of guys. When they say, he's over here, believe them not, because he says, behold, I come in clouds, and everybody's going to see me in the world at the same time. And so that guy is a joke, but a lot of people that don't read the Bible, the Bible is our instruction to know what to believe and what not to believe. And if people people don't believe it, they're out in darkness, and there isn't anything you can help them with except the Bible. The Bible's been the Word of God, the sword of God, the Spirit of God has been my defense all these years, and I'm still alive and kicking. And I swear about the Bible. I mean, there's just no other defense that we have in these last days or any time but the Word of God. If we do what it says, I've never seen anyone destroyed that does that. Now, these are the disciples. They showed their belief in Christ by allowing themselves to be put to death. But the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge because they don't know the Word. If you know the Word, the more you know of the Word of God, the more you're able to defend yourself, the more you're able to know God, and the more you know it, the more you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
I recently had on a former Catholic priest named Richard Bennett, who has a Bible-believing ministry now, and he's trained by the Jesuits, spent 22 years as a parish priest, and came out of the Catholic Church. And he says the exact same thing you're saying right now, and he says that, you know, one of the shocking things, and I think people ought to understand this, he's written a book where he's got the testimonies of 50 Catholic priests and nuns who have left the Church for the same reasons he did, the same things you're talking about, and he documents this. And one of the shocking things that people need to understand is that he said, I never was reading the Bible when I was in theology school, in Catholic school. He said, I had to start on my own. And he said, that's one of the, and people don't really understand that even the priests that go through this Satan's den, They're not given the Word of God. They're given the Catholic catechisms and the twisted words, and he verifies that. And that to me is really shocking. Not shocking now, but it should be to many people who are wondering, what are these Catholic priests teaching? Are they teaching the Word of God, or the Word of Satan? And I think if they're not teaching the Word of God, it has to be the other.
Oh, they teach them ritualism, politics. The Vatican is the biggest political octopus on the face of this earth. They've got their fingers in everything all over the world, and that's all they have is what is on this side of eternity. But the Bible says that the 10 major European countries are going to burn the Vatican, and it's going to happen real soon.
Right.
People definitely are getting hip to the Vatican and their evil doctrine. It's because we've put out hundreds of millions of pieces of literature. We're on the air constantly. There's people like yourself that's on the air, and you're not bashing them. We're defending ourselves against them because they're the bashers. They're the bashers, and I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing unless we had been attacked by them for so many years. They're the ones that started it. They hit us first. And so what I told people is they woke up a sleeping giant. Many years later, they came up with this film called A Torah, 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 or where they bombed Pearl Harbor and and attacked it. And they said, I think we woke up a sleeping giant. That's what I said years before that. But that's what it is. I know the Word of God, and I know that they don't have a chance. They're all going to hell. Now, there's a lot of people, like you say, like this priest that knew that he wasn't taught, and when the Word of God came to him, it's an absolute shock that this big monstrosity of a cult that calls himself the Church didn't teach him what the Word of God says. So therefore, they're literally shocked out of their wits. When they, most of our people are former Catholics. So I don't hate Catholics. I just hate their doctrine. And I hate the fact that they murder people and put them in prison for nothing, as they did myself. And but, you know, whatever is of the Lord is fine with me. If he allows them to put me in prison, well, then praise the Lord. I don't mind. Because to show my allegiance to the Word of God rather than to some secular, political, antichrist organization like this poisonous serpent that is the serpent's body.
Right.
Antichrist is not one person. It's a combination. It's a body of millions of people, just like the body of Christ is like one body of millions of people. And we all do what the Lord says by preaching the word and praying to God to when we see adversity. And what they do is they're on the attack all the time, and they need to be straightened out. And that's why I go to the only one that I know of that can straighten them out, and that's God, in the name of Jesus.
Right. And, you know, for one thing I wanted to mention before we run out of time here was that the Vatican is very shrewd in how they operate in our, with our legal system. The laws that are passed. And for example, I've been working on a story in Florida about the social services there and how they're kidnapping children, taking them away from their parents for reasons like this. A Bible-believing mother didn't want her daughter to go to a school dance. And so the daughter got upset, told the principal that she was being abused. The next thing you know, this mother had her daughter taken away, and she hasn't seen her daughter for a year. Now, these stories are horrendous, what's going on there in Florida. But one of the fathers who lost three of his children on a simple dog bite that was an accident, and they came and took all of his children. He's been fighting for 2 years to get them back. And it's just a huge, complicated story, one that I'd love to talk to you off the air about. But what he told me was, he said, we've been fighting, all these parents in Florida, to keep this mandatory teaching of our 6 and 7 and 8 year olds about homosexuality out of the school system. And it's now creeping in, and it's making it mandatory that kids listen to this. Now, the point is, a parent has a right to what his children at that age hear or don't hear. And so I say the Vatican and their minions are working behind the scenes to not only kidnap children, destroy families, but infect the minds of children with these thoughts that they shouldn't be thinking about at that age. Now, I have verifiable evidence that the Pope is gay, okay, even though the Church will come out publicly and say they're against that. And we've seen the scandals in the Vatican recently with the priest on Italian TV coming forward that he was gay and now has a list of all the Vatican gays. The idea that the Pope was gay came, isn't people talking, is a 24-year-old gay lover, and this came right from the mouth of the head of the Monte Carlo P2 Lodge, and other people higher up who were upset about it because of the Italian macho thing still exists. Well, anyway, so I then did this story about Harry Potter and the dangers in Harry Potter and how they're trying to take young minds and show how glamorous it is to be a witch and to be in secret societies. And people, I had responses from all over the map. People saying, oh, come on, Greg, be open-minded, it's just a fantasy. And then I had other people say, thank you for bringing this Harry Potter thing to light, because some kids were doing a Harry Potter seance behind my garage about a month ago, and they burned it down. So, then, listen to this, Tony, and you're going to love this. I've always questioned the writer of this book, this series. She came out of nowhere, although she's from Exeter University in England, J.K. Rowling. At the time, she was supposedly a mother on welfare. She's put together 5 books and has 2 to come with 7 best-selling movies and money coming out to, you know what, for not only her, but many of the people working around her. And so then I get this just recently. This happened October 19th in New York. J.K. Rowling, and this is a huge book, Tony. It's on the tips of many kids' tongues. Everybody's talking about Harry Potter when you're young now, you know, young kids. And here's what she said. The Harry Potter author breaks big news in New York. This is October 19th. And in front of a full house of hardcore Potter fans at Carnegie Hall in New York. J.K. Rowling sitting on the stage on a red velvet and carved wood throne. That's interesting. Read from her seventh and final book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Then took questions. One fan asked whether Albus Dumbledore, the head of the famed Hogwarts School of Wizardry and Witchcraft, had ever loved anyone. Rowling smiled and said, "Dumbledore is gay," replied Rowling as the audience erupted in surprise. She added that in her mind, Dumbledore had unrequited love, a love affair with Gellert Grindelwald, that's Voldemort's predecessor who appears in the seventh book, and that's the evil one, Voldemort, in the book Harry Potter. So here we have that gay connection now coming out in Harry Potter, which tells me she's working for the Vatican, right off the bat here.
I mean, and you know, they use the word gay, and that's about the only way you can explain it, except, you know, homosexual, but they're not gay. They're the most depressed people on the face of this earth. You know, they may act like, you know, ha 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 parties and stuff like that. But when they get home, they brood and they know that they're possessed with the devil, because people are not born homosexuals, or if they become homosexuals, they're not happy, they're not gay. They're brooding all the time, and there's the suicide rate in homosexuals and psychologists and psychiatrists is the highest in the nation. And now that they've putting these ideas into young kids' brains, the suicide rate in children is going up by believing in things like Harry Potter and witchcraft, all this witchcraft business. And, you know, people can do what they want, but, you know, they're going to wind up that the soul that sins shall surely die, and they're going to hell.
And here we have, you know, here we have the Dumbledore, Mr. Dumbledore, who is considered by kids to be the man representing good in this book, who takes Harry Potter under his wing. And then he's now, according to the author who stated this in Carnegie Hall, he's having a love affair with Gellert Grindelwald, who is the ultimate evil. So this is unbelievable, you know. It's so, you know, easy to see what they're up against when you start looking. But for anybody out there, explain that to me if you like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
What she's doing with that.
The media, that's the mouth of Satan. It's just brain damaging everybody in the world. They're going along with their program. And the Bible said that these things would happen, that they say that which is evil is good, and that which is good is evil. That which is bitter is sweet, and that which is sweet is bitter. They turned the tables around, and people have been deceived. They're so foolish to just sit down before television sets and listen to this jargon, rather than picking up the Bible or getting a talking Bible and listen to it to see what the real truth is. Because when they know the truth, then they'll be free from this satanic garbage. They will realize that homosexuality is not a choice at all, because ultimately they're going to wind up before the throne of God, and God hates them, and he shows his hatred for them by destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, the five cities of the plains. And then he tells you in Romans, the first chapter, that these people are worthy of death, but we don't put them to death. He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord."
Because Tony, I just been notified we're about 2 minutes away. We're going to end a minute early so they can reboot their computers. So I want to say thank you for being on the show.
It's always my pleasure.
And have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk again.
Okay, don't eat too many mashed potatoes.
Okay. That was Pastor Tony Alamo from the Alamo Ministries. We're all out of time on the Investigative Journal. We're not going to get any music to go off the air with today because of some computer problem. Our staff needs to reboot their computers. Thank you for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back live Monday. Good afternoon.